This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Well, there is still a little time before the start of summer, but maybe you've already been making some big plans for a family vacation. And while you look forward to these events and have some playtime with the family, can sometimes be stressful on a marriage just to get a family out the door and into your destination. Well, this summer, make sure to feed your marriage. Have a little fun yourselves. Joining me today to talk about the importance of playing in your marriage is Patricia Mackey from Everyday Counseling. Hello, Patricia. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brenda.
Well, the biggest part we always say when we'd go on these family vacations is getting to the destination because, boy, the lead up to all of that, a lot of work getting out of the house. So we're ready, well, to really enjoy and reduce some stress. So explain first to our listeners, I mean, we understand what playing is when it comes to our kids, but how do adults play?
Exactly. I think this is something that we misuse the word play so much anymore. And just really trying to help people understand what is play. So play has some, from a scientific perspective, we look at play as having a couple of components. And the first is we don't want it to stop. That once we've started, it's something that we want to keep going and going and going. And so part of that is if we know that the person that we're playing with maybe is a little weaker in something that we're doing, that we'll handicap ourselves naturally to keep the play going. So there's no competition. There's no, I want to win. There's, how do I make this go on forever? And so that's one of the most critical things that makes play play. So play can look like lots of things, right? It could look like a board game. It could look like sports. It could look like a game of golf. But if it's not something that we want to keep going, if we've inserted competition into it, it's no longer play. So what does play look like for adults? It can look like so many things, right? So one of the ways that my husband and I love to play, and as you know, we've got a good amount of little ones around us at all times. And so for Christmas, I got him some escape rooms in a box, and they come once a month, and they're just puzzles. And so I know that I'm really good at logic puzzles and he's really not. So if I solve that puzzle in like 30 seconds, he's not gonna wanna play with me anymore.
Right.
Because it's now competition. I've now made him feel bad. Whereas if I take some time and I ask him questions, whether or not I need those answers, he's now playing with me. And similarly, when we go on hikes, he's much more physically adept than I am. And so he'll go and he'll try some crazy thing, like let's log walk on this, you know, crazy log in this river. And yet he'll make the challenge just enough that he knows that I'll still be able to participate, but I won't just go, no, I can't do that. I'm just going to sit here on the edge and watch you. And so play is really about inviting the other person into something that makes us laugh, that makes us have fun, that's very relaxing, and that we will do whatever it takes to make it keep going. When the campaign ads were going around, our kids had decided to cut out one of the politicians' faces and they just started hiding it everywhere. So you'd pour out your cereal and this politician would plop into your cereal bowl, or you'd roll over at night and there's this, you know, this face staring at you on the pillow, or, you know, stuck on the steering wheel. And it became this huge game that the whole family was playing. And it's just that idea of, it's just something that makes me smile. It's a way for me to say I'm thinking about you. And it's really about play. It's about, I want to have fun with you. I want to be relaxed with you.
Oh, I love that a lot. Understanding what that means. I want to keep this going. Boy, that's really easy to understand and define. If you're joining or going into something, playing, and you go, I can't wait for this to be over. Yeah, definitely not going to have the same effect. Patricia Mackey joining us today. Patricia's a counselor with her business, Everyday Counseling, and she's talking to us today about how to have a fun summer and play, well, throughout with your partner. So you touched on one of my favorite play activities. Now I've taken up golf, and it was one of those things I started on my own. But boy, my husband joined in, and I understand what that means, that you want to keep that kind of fun going. But there does come a point where, not that we're necessarily competing against each other, but you do feel like, you know, somebody's going to come out on top. Now, that kind of changes what play looks like, and it goes from play, now we're having a competition. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. That's not going to feel very good.
Exactly. We definitely don't want competition to enter in. And so when we've moved into competition, naturally one person will say, I'm out. I don't want to play anymore. And I just watched this on the playground. My kids were at baseball, and it's this big league with kids of all ages. And they were running and playing on the playground. And they'd been playing tag, and one of the little boys went and sat down, and he didn't want to play anymore. And another little boy came over and asked, well, why aren't you playing? We wanted you on our team. They said, well, because I keep getting tagged, and I'm spending the whole time sitting down, so I don't want to play anymore. Oh, what a beautiful example of when play turned into competition.
Right.
Right. So he pulled himself out, and that's what we do. We'll naturally do that as our play turns into competition, and it becomes about somebody winning or dominating. All of a sudden, your play partners will walk away and say, this isn't fun anymore. I don't want to do this. So the next time you say, oh, let's go play golf again. I don't want to.
Yes. Oh, I definitely understand what that means. And sometimes, even if you pick a sport, like, you're not competing against each other, when you start competing with yourself and you have a bad day out on the course, yeah, makes you think twice about playing again. But, you know, for me and the Good Deacon, we definitely try to incorporate those fun times with things that we know we love, like going camping. You know, as the children get older, can you still find, you know, ways that kids want to be a part of you? Because, you know, when they're little, boy, they rely on you to find ways to play and keep them entertained. But, you know, as they hit those teen years, they might want to say, you know, Mom, Dad, go sit down. It's okay. I'm going out with my friends. They don't necessarily want to spend time with you. It's even more important to find ways to play.
Right. And I think that we're going through that transition, right? I've got one who's already made that transition. I've got another one who's in that transition where, when they're little, they just play. It's just a natural human instinct. It's a natural drive to just play. And then when they hit adolescence, it's still a natural drive, but just our society, what they see from parents, what they see at school, and from years of competition in competitive sports, teenagers stop playing. And that's actually not natural. That's not something we see across all cultures. That's fairly unique to Western civilization, that teenagers stop playing. And so it's something that's really important for us as parents to reclaim, to really reclaim the idea of play for ourselves, which is so hard because we feel like, well, it's just a waste of time. And it's not. It's actually one of the most powerful things that you can do for your brain. And it's not a waste of time for our kids to just play. And that's mindless play. There's no goal. There's nothing going to be accomplished. There's no skill that they're learning. There's no, you know, life lesson that's being taught out of play. That play has to remain free of all of that to continue to have benefits. And so really looking at, okay, how do I remember how to play? And that's the best way that we can pull our teens back into play, is if I can remember to put my agenda and my productivity and my need to get something done on the back burner, and I start to play again, they'll start to play again. And so with our teens, that might look like, you know, we're going to go out for a hike. And, you know, hikes, I think, here in the Northwest are just so simple. They're so accessible. They're free for the most part. And it's just a really great way to play with teenagers, because you're getting them out, you're taking them where hopefully their phones aren't working if they've got them. And they just get to try something new. And so they challenge themselves a little bit, or they're going to do something fun. And if you're modeling that, right? If I go and splash in a puddle, I went for a run with my teenage daughter last fall, and we were just out for a run. We were having fun. We each had an earbud in, so we were listening to the same song. and it was pouring. I mean, absolutely pouring down rain. And we got to this massive puddle, and she and I just ran through it as hard as we could. And it was such a moment of play that here's this opportunity, but I had to be in a playful mood for her to be able to join me in play.
It's so much fun to engage your teenagers that way. For our family, it happened just by a random chance where our young son said, "Dad, can I get my T-ball bat and hit these rotten apples?" Well, then the older kids yes. joined in, and now annually, all of our friends come over. It's a big party over Labor Day weekend, and everybody, well, they join in an apple schmear, and it is a great time. Patricia, there are more ways that we can have play and understand the value of it. I am coming up against my break. Will you stay with me through the break? And we're going to pick up our conversation in the next half hour.
Absolutely.
I am continuing now my conversation with Patricia Mackey. Patricia is a counselor with Everyday Counseling, joining me today to talk and remind us how important it is, well, to have some fun this summer and set out to play. Patricia, thank you so much for staying with me.
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me, Brenda.
So, Patricia, for our listeners, you gave such a great definition of what play is. For our listeners, maybe who missed our first half of our interview, remind us again what it means to actually play.
Yes. So play is when we let go of any competition. We will naturally make ourselves come down to the level of the lowest common denominator. It's something that we want to go on and on and on. We don't want it to stop. And that's really the key behind play, is this is something that we want to continue and we don't want it to end. We lose track of all time. We lose track of all self-consciousness. We just want to be in it. And that's really how we scientifically define play.
I love it. Now, when we play with our kids, and I remember getting a lot of these toys and they were brightly colored, but I knew that there were parts of this toy that worked on fine motor skills, or there were parts of the game that helped develop their memory skills and things like that. Are there cognitive benefits to playing, you know, for adults?
Absolutely. So play is kind of this hidden gem in the world. And the researchers, I've been really obsessed with play now for a handful of years. And this year, I kind of feel like is the year of play in the research. And so we're really, from a mental health perspective, putting a lot of emphasis on play and on the benefits of play. And our brains don't work very well when they are flooded with cortisol. And after these past 2 years, we all have tons and tons of stress in our lives. And that just really reduces our brain's ability to think creatively, to think outside of the box, and to really function well. And play is so powerful in shutting that down. Play kind of comes through and it cleanses the system, and it just allows us to relax, to really come into a relaxed body, to come into a relaxed state of being, to connect with other people. And so it really allows the brain to increase memory capacity, to function better at work, to be able to do tasks in a more efficient way. So the cognitive benefits are so important. But the trick with play is we can't go in looking for them, because as soon as we go in looking for them, we're just doing a task and we've stopped playing.
Oh, Patricia Mackey joining us today, reminding all of us this needs to be a summer of play. That includes all of us adults for sure. Well, Patricia, you know, you say God wants us to be fruitful. His highest commandment, love one another, right? How do we express love and playing?
And this is one that I feel like this is, you know, when we think about God's grace commandment, he gives this commandment when he knows he's about to be led to the cross, right? He knows what his journey is going to be. And Judas has just left and he says, here is the big commandment, love one another. And then you think about what play is. Play is, I want to be in this moment with you. I see you. I understand your strengths. I understand your weaknesses. And I'm willing to adapt myself in order to do that. And I love the definition of love as willing the good of the other, that in order to love, Father Mike Schmitz gave a talk recently about how love is a one-way street. Relationships are two-way streets, but love is a one-way street. And I really loved that definition of it, because that's our responsibility. That's all I can do is my part. And so if I'm loving you, if I'm willing you're good, what better way to do that than in play? If I see that you're a little weak here, and so therefore I backtrack and I go, well, I'm not going to show you, I'm not going to overpower you. I'm not going to show you how much stronger I am or how much more capable in this I am. But I'm just going to take a step back and I'm just going to stay right here with you and do this with you, whether it's hitting rotten apples with a T-ball bat or splashing through puddles or, you know, any of the numerous, or, you know, we got a book once full of games to play with your kids. And one of them is everybody tries to get the socks off of everybody else. And so that can become quite rambunctious and fun. And it's, I'm not going to go as hard after the 2-year-old as I will after the 14-year-old.
Okay. Oh, I love it. And you're right. It's about love being that one-way street. I always think about it going back and forth. But, well, mm-hmm. if you are loving with an expectation to get something back, well, now there's strings attached to that. That's not the way God loves any of us. So it is a wonderful, wonderful way to think about, well, being mm-hmm. with your spouse. Well, Patricia, I think you have set all of us up to really look at our summer months and look at it with eyes of play and really look forward to the enjoyment that God gives us with these warmer months to be able to be with our family and the ones that we love. Patricia, you also have a great website. There's lots of resources there for married couples, for the family. Tell our listeners a little bit about Everyday Counseling and some of the things they're going to find on your webpage.
Yes. So as many people probably know, I'm getting ready to go on, well, I am officially on maternity leave. So I'm not offering clinical counseling at the moment, but my webpage is full of a lot of resources and that'll continue to fill up. So there's saints that you might really connect with for different issues that you might be going through, different stages of life. Blessed Pierre Giorgio Frassati, I'm going to have a little something about him because I really think he understood the power of play. So there's different saints that might help you in different stages of your life. There's books, podcasts. So the self-help section of my website is filled with many, many resources to help you explore these things further and say, these are things that we're going to have going on in our life. Here are some resources to help you to take that to the next step on your own.
Oh, well, it is a great website. I encourage all of our listeners to definitely check it out. Patricia Mackey from Everyday Counseling. Patricia, thank you so much for your time today. We wish you all of the best with the upcoming Mackie, the addition to your family. We just want to thank you for your time today teaching us how to play.
Thank you. And I hope everybody enjoys lots and lots and lots of play this summer.
Again, that is Patricia Mackey, and her website is through Everyday Counseling. I will be sure to add a link to where you can find more information about Patricia and also links to where you can get right to her webpage. You're going to find that information on the podcast of this interview, on the Hail Mary Media app, or on our webpage, materdeiradio.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.